One thing I wanted to do tonight was I thought about putting the verses on the screen, but then I decided I really want y'all to take these home, and for homework this week, I want you to read through these scriptures a couple times and just ponder them and think about them, okay? One thing you're going to find, I appreciate Brother Doug giving me the opportunity to come and share with you, but one thing you're going to find is I may not have the smarts or brains like Brother Doug and the rest of the staff, but then on the flip side of the coin, they're not as good looking and haven't been blessed with good looks like me either, okay? So we all have things that we've been blessed with, all right? And some of you are probably thinking, Brother Ken, when's the last time you had your eyes checked? And I know y'all are thinking that, especially in my Sunday school class, okay? And I knew someone to give an amen there. Before I start the lesson tonight, I'm using more scriptures than I normally use. Brother Doug told us the scriptures he wanted us to use several weeks ago. And I've been working on these scriptures. And man, this lesson has just been growing. And man, there were a lot more scriptures I had, but I just finally said, okay, I've got to start cutting some of these. You'll have to excuse me. A few weeks ago I was sick and I've still got that little cough, okay? Tonight, before we get started though, I want to look at your sheet. And I want to look at the first probably five scriptures. The first one is 2 Corinthians 5:17. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. The one point I want you to get, when we trust Jesus as our Savior, we become a new creature or new creation. The second one. Once we trust Christ as our Savior, we never lose our salvation. In John 5:24, it says, verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but pass from death unto life. When you look at that phrase, shall not come into condemnation, that basically means shall not ever come into damnation. When you look at Ephesians chapter 1 verse 13, you see that we're sealed by the Holy Spirit. So it's nothing us doing, it's what God has done. But when you look at the third one on your list, John 10:10, Jesus said, I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. Now, Jesus didn't just come that they might have life, and this is talking about eternal life, but he came that we could have it more abundantly. So sad that there's many people, they'll trust Christ, they'll be fired up for just a little bit, and then they're not reading the Word, they're not doing the things God's commanded them. And folks, if you don't do what God tells you, you will not live the abundant life. This is what the Apostle John was talking about in 1 John 1:4. It says, these things I write to you that your joy may be full. And look at the fifth one on that list, 1 John 2:5. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. Listen, God wants us to have the abundant life. He wants our joy to be full, and he wants to be the love of, for us to have the love of God perfected in our lives. In order to do that, though, we've got to do what he tells us. Now, have you ever wished there were certain scriptures that were not in the Bible? Love your enemies? Really? But you know what? That's what God told us to do, and he expects us to do it. And we're going to be talking about these a little bit, some other scriptures a little bit later. But I want you to turn in your Bibles to 1 John chapter 2, verse 7. 1 John chapter 2, verse 7. We begin, it says, verse 7. Brethren, I write no new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you heard from the beginning. Now, what is this old commandment? I think the best way we can find that is look back at your list, number 6, Matthew 22, 36 through 40. In Matthew, a lawyer, he was trying to trick Jesus, but he asked Jesus, he said, verse 36, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" And Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment." Notice, if you love Jesus with all your heart, your mind, and soul, you're going to do what God tells us. Because in His Word, He says, if you love me, you're going to keep my commandments. He didn't say command. He said commandments. Those are plural. If you truly love Jesus, you're going to do what He tells you. Verse 39 says, "And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." Now tonight we're going to be talking about loving your brother, but Jesus expanded that. You need to love your neighbor. You need to love your relatives. You need to love the ones who are around you. You need to love the people you work with. He said, "On these two commandments hang all of the law and all the prophets." Look at number 7. 1 John 3:7, the Apostle John said it like this, "For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another." Folks, this is a command. This is not an option. Now I want to use some illustrations. Ladies, are there times in your life it's hard to love your husband? I heard one amen, but I saw a lot of people doing this. You might have told him, "If I told you once, I've told you 1,000 times to pick up your clothes. If I've told you once, I've told you twice, put the commode seat down. If I told you once, I've told you 1,000 times, you fill in the blank." There are times in our immediate families that we get on each other's nerve, and it's hard to love them. Husbands, are there times that it's hard to love your wife? Never. Well, I'm not going to give any examples, because when I get home tonight, I want to have peace in the Worthen household, okay? So you know what the direction I'm going. Okay, parents, what about, is there times that it's hard to love your kids? Especially when they get older and they know everything. Kids, is it hard sometimes to love your parents when they don't let you do the things you really want to do? One thing I've seen in families, immediate families, a lot of times we just learn to love them anyway. We work through it. And most of the times we do. A few times we're not able to. But most of the time we can get through it as a family. But you know, the sad thing is, when you come to the house of God, and I'm using our Victory family, for example, just look around. Man, you can look at some people in there, and right off you think, man, they're hard-headed. Man, they're stubborn. Man, they're outspoken. Man, they've got this wrong. Man, they're bossy. Well, I want to tell you, God has given each one of us a personality. Sometimes our personalities clash with each other. But the sad thing I see in churches many times, someone may do something, and that's just the way they are, and then the people refuse to talk to them for maybe a month. It goes on to months and even years. You say, well, what did they do to you? Well, Brother Ken, I was working hard and they chewed me out in front of a lot of people. It just embarrassed me. I'm never going to work with them again. I'm not going to talk to them. Or maybe they were just playing, picking on them, and yet it hurt their feelings. It could be maybe you let a brother or sister borrow something or have something, and they either broke it or didn't return it. The list could go on and on. But the problem is, Jesus said, He commanded, we're to love one another. We need to work through these things, just like we do in our immediate family. I want to look at the verse 8. Now let's, and I'm talking about 1 John chapter 2, verse 8. He goes on to write, again, a new commandment I write to you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. Do you realize when you trust Christ as your Savior, you become a new creature, new creation, and you are now a light for Jesus? Look at your sheet, number 8, Matthew 5, 14 through 16. It says, in verse 14, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. That's the way God wants our light to be. Have you ever been traveling across the country and, man, you come over, it's dark, you come over a hill, and all of a sudden you see a mountain over here, and it's just lit up? Because a hill, a city on a hill, you can't hide it. That's the way God wants our light to be. Verse 15, he says, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a bushel, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Many years ago, people used lanterns before we had electricity. Now, how much sense would it make if it got dark and they lit the lantern and then they put a bushel or a basket over it to keep out the light? That would just be dumb. God wants us to let our light shine, and that's what verse 16 is about. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. See, when we read and study the Word of God and do the things that God has commanded us and don't do the things that He's told us not to do, then our light's going to get brighter and brighter and brighter, and that darkness is going to be passing. Now, I want to go back and look at that phrase. The phrase in verse 8, darkness is passing away. If you look in the King James, it says darkness is past. Well, past means past, all right? But that's not what the literal translation of that word means. It is a present tense verb, and it means it's in progress. In other words, when we trust Christ, we're given a light, but the darkness, the sin that's in our life should be passing away, but it's never going to pass away until we get that glorified body. When we get that glorified body, we're going to be like Jesus. There's not going to be any sin. There will never be any more darkness in that body. But if we don't get into the Word, if we don't do what God commands us, then what we're allowing is sin and darkness to come in our lives. When we do that, I believe we're putting a bushel or a basket over our light. And I believe saved people can be walking in darkness. They may be saved for all eternity, but they do not have the abundant life. Their fellowship with God is broken. Their joy is not going to be full. And the love of God will not be perfected in their hearts. Last week, Kelly did a great job on the message. And one point he said, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Folks, every day we're going to sin. But the good news is, if we confess those sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Every day when we sin, we need, God, I'm sorry. God, I'm sorry. Because we don't want that darkness to be in our light, alive. We want that light to be shining. I want you to look at 1 John, back to chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in darkness, and notice, he walks in darkness. He does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. When you walk in darkness, you know what? You're going to trip and stumble. You're going to fall. If you refuse to love your brother, if you refuse to love your neighbor, If you refuse to love others around you, I believe you're going to be walking in darkness. Your light's not going to be shining. You're out of fellowship with God. And when you pray, listen to this, God's not going to hear you. You say, now, Brother Ken, what are you saying there? Folks, when we are not in the will of God and walking in fellowship with Him, it's a dangerous thing. Would you look back at your list to number 9? Psalm 66:18 says, if I regard iniquity, what's iniquity? Sin. If I regard sin in my heart, the Lord's not going to hear me. Now, here's something I know. When we get mad at a brother over something, it's usually because they've done something to us, and we have an unforgiving spirit. When we have an unforgiving spirit, when there are other sins in our lives, notice the psalmist said, if I regard iniquity or sin in my heart, He's not going to hear me. When you pray, if you've got friends who are lost, when you pray, I don't believe God's going to hear your prayer. If you've got loved ones who are struggling with a serious illness, you may pray, but I don't think God's going to hear your prayer. If you have kids that's traveling or into some kind of trouble, if you pray, I don't think He's going to hear your prayer. You may say, but Brother Ken, listen, it's getting a little bit too personal tonight. Maybe there's some brothers and sisters in our church that's done some little minor stuff and I have a hard time forgiving them. But folks, there's very easily someone here that has been really wronged by someone in the past. Maybe it was in their childhood they were molested. Maybe teenager, someone raped them. Maybe you were abused in a bad or sick way. But nevertheless, we're still commanded to love. I want to quote a prayer that Jesus did, and then I want you to tell me what is the hardest part in this prayer. Jesus prayed, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. What's the hardest part of that prayer? Forgiving. What was it again? And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Jesus knew this was going to be the hardest thing for our sinful heart to do. Because you know why? The next two verses in Scripture, I want you to look at them. They are number 10. It says in Matthew 6:14-15, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father is also going to forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. That goes right along with number 11 on our list, 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What's the opposite of that scripture? If we do not confess our sins, He is faithful and just to not forgive us our sins and to not cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When we as saved people walk in darkness, we're not in fellowship with God. Our light's not going to be shining brightly the way He wants. Folks, we do not have an option. But here's the thing here. God didn't just tell us to love one another. He took it a step farther. Look at number 12 on your list. John 13:34-35. He said, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. Jesus don't want us to just love each other. You know, the word love in the Greek has four tenses. And the strongest love is called agape love. And that's the love Christ had for us. Now, I want to use an illustration here. And this is just an illustration. If I walked up to Michael and he did something I really didn't like, and I reared back and I hit him in the face with all my strength, we know what would happen. First, he'd hit the ground and he'd be in a coma for the next 5 to 10 years. Okay? We know that's a given. But let's just say, play along with this example. Let's just say he stood there and took it. I hit him, he did not fall, and he just started getting red. What is in his nature to do next? Hit us back. Jesus said we're to turn the other cheek. But I want you to think of this. Jesus said, I want you to love as I have loved you. If Michael's going to practice that, if I come up to him and hit him in the face, hit him in the back, hit him in the stomach, if I spit on him, if I slap him, if I get a crown of thorns and place it on his head, if I grab him then and tie him to a pole and whip him with a cat of nine tails, and then I take him off the pole and put him on a cross and nail him to the cross and then leave him up to die. What was the great example that Jesus left for us? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. If I do those things to Michael, if he's going to let his light shine and do what God wants him to do, he's going to say, Father, forgive Brother Ken for what he did. Wow, that's deep love. Have you ever thought about when Jesus was being spat upon, when he was being hit, when he was being slapped, when they put a crown of thorns on him? At any given time, he was the most powerful one in the universe. All he had to do, the ones that spit on him, Lord, Father, let fire come down from heaven and burn them up. When they put that crown of thorns on him, he could say, Father, the ones that did that, let them be eaten with worms. He could have had each one of them killed immediately. But he had agape love. And he forgave them. And folks, that's what we're to do. Look at number 13. You say, Brother Ken, what you're asking is difficult. Well, remember, it's a commandment. It's not an option. Look what Jesus told us to do in Matthew 5:43-45. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, what are we supposed to do? Love our enemies, bless those who curse you, and do good to those that hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. These enemies of ours, whether they're brothers and sisters in Christ, whether they're neighbors, whether they're the ones that have done the worst things to us, we're to love them, bless them, do good to them, and pray for them. Many years ago, there was a young lady that I knew, and I can't remember if she was studying to be a nurse or she just started as a nurse. But we got to talking, and she shared her testimony with me. And her mom and dad had gotten a divorce, and her mom remarried. And when she was 12 years old, she was called upon to be the lady of the house. Her mom had breast cancer, so she had to do a lot of the chores. She had to take care of her 2-year-old baby sister and her 6-month-old little brother. During that time, her stepfather was molesting her. And she told me it wasn't until she was 17 years old, it's when she trusted Christ as her Savior, and then she was able to forgive him. Now she said, I don't want to ever be in the same room alone with him, but I have forgiven him. Folks, we are commanded to forgive. One more story I want to share with you. There was a man in Florida. He and his wife only had one child. It's a beautiful baby girl. The girl grew up. She became a teenager. And she just kept growing. And she was the apple of her father's eyes, a daddy's little girl. Well, I don't know if she was in her late teens or early 20s, but a man attacked her at night, raped her, and killed her. Now you think what that man and that mother and father went through. He, once they caught the criminal, he wanted to confront the convict face to face in prison. When he got there, he shared the gospel with that man and he trusted Christ as a Savior. Now, he couldn't have done that unless he had forgiven. Now, tonight, I guess I could close on this question. To obey or not to obey? That's the question. What are you going to do? Has there been a brother or sister that's wronged you? Has there been someone, a neighbor, that has really took it to the worst level, broke the law, violated you? Well, I want to tell you once again, we're commanded to love. We're commanded to forgive. When you hold this in your heart, once again, you're going to be out of fellowship with God. You're going to be walking in darkness. And folks, it is going to give you all kinds of health problems. Ulcers, high blood pressure, and other diseases. Tonight, if something has happened to you and you find yourself, you have that unforgiving spirit, then I beg you, get rid of that weight you've been carrying for a while. Come to the altar, pour out your heart to God. I'm going to be asking Brother Doug to come up here in just a moment. And if you want to come and get him, pray with him, pray with Michael, pray with me. But there's something else I want to talk to you about too quickly, briefly. Brother Doug did a great job on the message this morning. And you know, I can't believe a congregation the size of us, that there's no one that knows Christ. There's someone in here that does not know Christ as their Savior. And maybe you're here tonight. Maybe you were convicted by your sin this morning. Maybe God's been convicting you for the last few weeks. You know you need to trust Christ, but Satan keeps telling you, put it off. You can do it at another time. One night when I was a little boy, there was a teenager in our church named Greg. After the Sunday evening service, he was in the prime of his life. He and his friend got on a motorcycle and started riding. And within an hour later, his friend pulled out in front of a vehicle. Greg pulled out in front of a vehicle. His friend pushed himself off the back of the motorcycle. And Greg got hit and he died that night. If you were to ask him, how much time do you think you've got? He would have probably said, man, I've probably got many years on this earth. There's been so many people leave a church service and pass away before they get home. If you do not trust Jesus as your Savior, you're just one breath from eternity. If you die without Jesus, then my friend, you're going to spend eternity burning in hellfire forever and ever. Maybe tonight God's been convicting you and you know this is where God wants you to be, but you have not joined this church. My friends, the Bible says, unto him be glory in the church. Are you going to obey Jesus? If this is where he wants you, why not come and join this church? I'm going to ask you to stand and ask Brother Dale to come. Brother Doug, you come ahead as well. Think about these things. Are you where you need to be with the Lord Jesus Christ? Brother Doug, you come ahead and I'm going to lead us in prayer. Heavenly Father, tonight let us examine our hearts. If there's sin in our heart, let us confess it and get it out. If there's someone here that's been just putting off salvation, let them trust you tonight as their Lord and Savior. If you've been working in someone's heart to join us, God, please lead them to us. Let them step out and join our church family, Lord. Help us so that we will be lights that will bring honor and glory to you, God. And we'll just keep shining brighter and brighter. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.